to praise him for, you see. He's been so good to me. When I think what he's done and where he brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for. Let's stand singing again. I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for, you see. He's been so good to me. When I think of what he's done and where he brought me from, I've got so much.
He's done for me, I know. I'm unworthy of him all. Oh, his blessings he freely gives. I owe my life to him. I've got so much to pay.
Yes, sing it now with all your heart.
Well, if you just if you stop and count your blessings, it'll take you a long time to find something to complain about. If you just stop and count your blessings. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? You appreciate the word of the Lord? Wasn't it wonderful? Praise the name of the Lord. Well, this is the 23rd day of December, 2012. You all look good to be that far back in history, but it's so good to be in the house of the Lord today. And looking at this past year, what the Lord has done for us, where he has brought us through the preaching of the word of the Lord in our Christian walk with God, it's just amazing. It's so amazing that we're still here. It's so amazing that God has kept us by his wonderful grace and mercy. I appreciate his grace for keeping me, Brother Terry. You know, so many this past year have been casualties of Christian burnout, have been casualties of just desiring no longer to even be going to the house of the Lord. But I'm so glad to be a victor this morning, along with you, that God has still placed within us a desire to serve him, to worship him, to live for him, and to be a Christian in Satan's Eden. Are you glad for that this morning? Why don't you give Jesus a big hand clap of praise? Now we know this is the season that all the world celebrates, or at least in our world, we all celebrate this time of the year as Christmas, the birth of Christ. And we know that he was probably not born this time of year, according to what the prophet stated, probably born in April. We know that. But this is a time that's been set aside in celebration of the birth of our Lord. And I certainly am glad that he wrapped himself in a robe of flesh, Brother Terry. And came to this world to be born in a manger. No room for him in the inn, but he chose to live in a manger. He chose to not even have probably two coats to his name. Didn't have nowhere to call home. But aren't you glad that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? 2012, we're so honored to serve a King like the Lord Jesus Christ. There's folks around the world that serve all kinds of pagan gods. Their gods are gods of stone, gods of marble, gods of different things. But I'm so glad to be serving a God that can... He's so big, this earth is His footstool. But He's so small, He can come in the heart of a man and the heart of a woman and leave His leadership there until He takes us to our eternal home. Aren't you glad about it this morning? Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now we know it's not polite to say Merry Christmas anymore. It's the modern terminology is Happy Holidays or this or that. But I don't think it's wrong to say Merry Christmas. They took Christ out of everything. But I want you this morning to turn around and shake somebody's hand, grin at them real big, and tell them Merry Christmas. God bless you. Merry Christmas and God bless you. Praise the Lord. Merry Christmas. To thank you for. Oh, and I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, He's been so good to me. When I think of what He's done and where He's brought me from, stop and say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for all You've done for me. And one day when I reach heaven's joys, let me kneel once more. I've got so much. We've got so much. Let me read you a testimony. I guarantee you these folks have got a lot to be thankful for this morning. I want to praise and thank my God for sparing Larry's life today. Early this morning, Larry and Andrew went duck hunting, and Larry fell in the freezing river. The water was over his head, and he was swallowing it. He was so cold, he knew that hypothermia was setting in. He had to let his shotgun go. With all of his strength and God's angels, he made it to the river bank. He couldn't talk, and he was trying to tell Andrew, "No, don't come in after me." Thank God that Andrew understood and obeyed. Larry is home now, exhausted and trying to warm up. We're so very thankful to the Lord for His mercy and His grace. Sister Holly sends that in this morning. Well, somebody say thank you, Jesus. Sing that second verse again for me. Let's look at our prayer request this morning, if you will. Eddie Jablonski called a while ago. He's very sick, needs a touch from the Lord. He's asking that you all would pray for him. I think he got very sick at Walmart and just needs a touch from God Almighty in his life. So we want to pray for Eddie Jablonski this morning. Also want to pray for Sister King. She's having problems with her back. So let's pray for our dear sister that the Lord would touch her. Ruth Garland sends us in to please pray for B.J. Gwynn. That's her son-in-law. He had a heart attack this week. Really needs our prayers. Also, an unspoken prayer request that the Lord knows all about. We'll just commit that unto the Lord this morning. I want to remember Brother Buzz Livingston's sister in prayer. She lives in North Carolina. Hospice has been called in. The family are with her today. Her name is Linda, so we certainly want to pray for that need this morning, that the Lord would be mindful to that situation. Roxanne Black sends this in. Now, this is just a little bit lengthy, but I'm going to take the time to read it because I believe you'll see the sincerity of it. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, please join your prayers with ours. We have an emergency situation. Sister Barbara Gerber has been in hospital for about 2 months now. We have asked for prayers for her during this time. However, the doctors have told us there is nothing more they can do. Without a miracle, she will be graduating very soon. They have turned her over to hospice. I put one of Brother Branham's prayer cloths on her, and because it was so small, the nurses gave her a bath and took the nightgown right away, and away with that piece of prayer cloth. Thank God I had a small piece left. I sewed it to a large handkerchief and took that over to the hospital last night and placed it on her. She considers Brother Donnie Reagan to be her pastor, as we all do. We would all meet at her house, about four of us, from time to time, maybe 5 to 7, depending, and do church with you all on the computer live stream. We all love you all and her, and if God sees fit to take her, she will be greatly missed. This prayer cloth was given to us by the Tucson Tabernacle where Brother Perry Green is pastor in Arizona. I've been calling all the saints I can to prayer. I ask you all to please join your prayer with ours. Pray for her loved ones as well. There are many unsaved and are very upset. Thank you for your prayers. Your sister in Christ Jesus, Sister Roxanne J. Black. So we certainly want to remember that need this morning. All of our friends and brothers and sisters in the Lord, that the only church they've got is what they can stream. We certainly want to tell them that we sure appreciate them, and we love them so very much, and may God minister to their spirits as well. So we just commit all these things unto the Lord. If you have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about, Brother Daniel, if you'll come at this time, we'll invite the presence of our Lord into this service. Got a lot to get done this morning, so you just we'll enjoy it as the day goes by. So you just bear with us, and we'll do the best we can. Let's enjoy Brother Daniel and pray with him as we appreciate our brother, don't we? Amen.
Appreciate Brother Louis. Amen. Just like to say this morning that when Christ was born, he struck history with such an impact that it split it in half. A.D. and B.C., or B.C. and A.D. And even the atheists, when he signs a check, he has to put the birthday of Jesus right on the check. Amen. Something to think about this morning. Let's pray over these needs. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be in this service today. God, we just want to thank you for what you mean to us. Thank you for our pastor, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because we know that with the mind, strange things can happen. And God, may our faith within us, through faith in your word, God, may it accomplish those things that we have need of this morning. Heavenly Father, we bring our petitions, our requests before your throne. God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you'll move for each need here today. God, for those that might be listening over the internet, whatever way it might be, we pray in the name of Jesus that you'll stretch forth your hand to heal, to save, to deliver, Lord Jesus. And God, we pray that you'll bless this service today. God, that you'll draw us closer to you. Help us, oh God, that we'll be faithful soldiers of the cross, ever pressing forward. Lord Jesus, we love you and we appreciate you for our boys and girls in the service, in the military. Be with them today also, Lord Jesus. We'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come at this time. We'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here today, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming, may God richly bless those folks as well. Now, we're going to have about three songs. Sister Ivy is not quite ready, Brother Bill. Is that right? You don't know yet? Just maybe check real quick for me and see. We're going to have another. She is ready? Not yet? Okay, we'll have you can be seated this morning. Brother Andrew Johnson is here. He always blesses our heart with a song. Brother Caleb's going to sing for us this morning. And our children, I don't know exactly how, Brother Andrew, if you come on, be getting ready. Certainly appreciate our brother, don't we? God bless him.
Pray for me, my throat's a little sore this morning. Above his name, there is no other name. The one who is eternally the same. There is no other name. First and last, beginning and the end. He was the King who made a common man his friend. There is no other name. Let every tongue proclaim and sing the name. Jesus, magnify and praise the name of Jesus. No other name but Jesus. There's power in the precious name of Jesus. Jesus, Messiah, King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus. He created all that is with his own hands. And yet the smallest need he understands. There is no said, I am the great I am. And then he gave himself the sacrifice for man. There is no other name. Let every and see the name of Jesus. Magnify and praise the name of Jesus. No other name but Jesus. There's power in the precious name of Jesus. Jesus, forever He shall reign as King of Kings, Lord of all and every living thing. From now on we'll worship Him and praise the name of Jesus. Magnify and praise the name of Jesus. No other name but Jesus. There's power in the precious name of Jesus. Jesus, forever He shall reign as King of Kings, Lord of all and every living thing. From now on we'll worship Him and praise the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you enjoy that this morning? That was good, buddy. God bless you. The children are ready, so while they're ready, we're going to let them come and sing. They're standing back there just anxiously waiting. Brother Caleb, you get ready after they sing, and we'll go right into the service this morning. Give these children a nice hand as they come to sing.
Understand the reason for this trial. Heavy burdens in this dark valley I've walked through. I can't comprehend right now what God is doing, but all I know is I can make it, Lord, without you. And all I know is I can't make it, Lord, without you. I'll be honest, I don't know what to do. And perhaps it's all a mystery unfolding. I can make it, Lord, without you. I
Well, we certainly appreciate all of our singing this morning, don't we? It was just wonderful. I believe you could give them all one more huge hand clap. Just very, very good. It's time to go on into the service this morning. Let's stand. Now, we, as is our custom here at Happy Valley, we always present Brother Donnie and Sister Carol a Christmas card during this time. We'll place it on the desk in his office. I asked Sister Carol if she'd like to come up and make a thank you speech, and she said she was a bad voice this morning, so we'll let her slide on that. But we certainly appreciate another year almost come and gone. Brother Donnie, Sister Carol, and their family, as our Brother Donnie, our spiritual head, and his family as fine Christian examples to this assembly. I appreciate him with all my heart. Do you? Do you appreciate your pastor this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, just before our pastor comes, as he comes, Brother Harry is going to sing a little bit of Mary, Did You Know? And we'll go right on into the service. God bless you as you share this week and these days ahead with all your family and friends. May God bless you. That's our prayer, one to the other, right? God bless you. Brother Harry, sing it this morning.
I don't want to make your ears suffer and your legs suffer, so if you don't care, sit down. I don't know when Jesus was born, but I'm glad he was born at you. Because he was born and because there was a Christmas, I now have the power to become a son of God.
Mary, did you know your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered would soon deliver you. Mary, did you know your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know your baby boy has walked where angels trod, and you've kissed your little baby, you've kissed the face of God? Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know your baby boy was Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb, and the sleeping child you're holding is the grave?
How we appreciate his coming to the earth, don't we? Let's turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 30, if you would. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. I'd like to speak to you today on the right mental attitude. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus," or Jehovah Savior, Yahshua, Joshua of the Old Testament. "He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Now this question is not asked in unbelief. It is asked in a lack of understanding. God don't get mad whenever we ask this type of question. She's not disbelieving. She's not questioning. She's just, "I don't understand. How can it be? Watch his response, and it tells you that he was not offended by the way she asked it. And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible." The English doesn't do this justice, not the way it's actually written. Actually, it is, "For no rhema from God shall be void of power." Glory. "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." That actually the Greek words is, "For no rhema from God shall be void of power." And Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. So be it unto me according to thy rhema. The right mental attitude. Let's pray together. Father, we so appreciate your love today. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that we once again can be assembled here together. And we're grateful, Lord, as we know, dear God, that more than likely it was not this particular day, even this time of the year, that you made your advent to the earth. But we are so grateful that you did. Whether it was December, March, April, that doesn't really matter to us. We're just so thankful that you came, because we know we are the reason. So today, Lord, I pray that you would help us as we go through this season and this time. May we keep you the focal point of this time. To us, Santa Claus and jingle bells and all that sort of fictitious stuff is not the reason of the season. But you are, Lord. We love you for that, and we thank you. Speak to us today, I pray, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Little did Satan know what was being spoken this day would change the course of the world. No other person on the earth could be able to receive this word. Not another individual could the promise have been made manifest to like it was to her. Amen. No doubt she wasn't the only virgin girl that had read this passage of scripture. We know in Mary's belief that Brother Branham said after the Sabbath day that she had been there to the church, the temple, and heard the priest, the rabbi, read Isaiah 9 and 6. And there was a very strange feeling that come over her as she heard him comment on the scriptures. The reason that that feeling would have come was because she had a personal identity with that word. She didn't quite know it yet, for the season was not quite ready. But yet her name was actually associated with that scripture before the foundation of the world. Yet her human name was not written, a virgin shall conceive. Isaiah could have called her name. He could have said a virgin named Mary, her mother so-and-so, father so-and-so. She'll live in a certain town. Her address will be so-and-so and so. But instead, he chose to identify her not so much by her name, but by her character. A virgin shall conceive. God could have had your name, your human name, written in the Bible. But instead of doing that, God chose to call you bride, which is to me is more precious. Because once Donnie Reagan has passed away, the human name Donnie Reagan, I'll still be bride, so that'll endure longer than Donnie Reagan. This great, wonderful, divine promise that had laid here in the Word of God for all these years. And yet that promise was now at the time and the season when it must be fulfilled. And there are several things that are now hinging upon this promise and its fulfillment. As with any other divine promise of God, God allocates certain promises that will come to pass without human help whatsoever. Some promises must have a human connection by which that promise and a human being will connect the divine part in the human, the divine part from the promise, and they will connect and it will bring to pass the divine fulfillment. There's other promises that God speaks. No human has anything at all to do with it. But when God involves a human being, it's always risky. There's always an element that when God involves a human being with the fulfillment of His Word, that God must pre-plan that promise. He must pre-plan that human being, and He must allocate the appropriate power, divine power, to go with that promise, and the dependency cannot be upon that human themselves. Because there is no human that is without frailty and without fault and mistake. So how can God ever tie any divine promise just upon the persistence and the constant believing of any human being? He cannot do it. But God will associate promises, but He will associate them with rhema power to make sure that word will come to pass. Now, this promise was exactly that kind of a promise. That God had said, a virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son. Mary, no doubt, did not have a full comprehension of all that was going to come to pass. God revealed more and more and more as she pondered these things in her heart when He was dedicated. When Simeon had said, let thy servant depart in peace, a little more began to come to pass and a little more began to come to pass. And God does the same way for us today. Now, whenever God has spoke the promise, is it just enough for God to speak it and the angel of God to come upon the seed and pronounce the promise? Or is there something left in the human being that must correspond to the promise in order to release the divine power to bring it to pass? Now, the angel of God could have come in such a positive affirmation. He could have overwhelmed her will. He could have went beyond her humanity and said, you're going to conceive. I don't need your permission. I don't need you to say yes. I don't need you to do anything about it. But you see, that would have been contrary to God's way. God dealt with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden on the basis of free moral agency. The earth was lost on the basis of free moral agency. How can it be regained if God overrides the consent of that? Then it's not justly been regained, and the battle has not been fairly fought. But the battle must be. Don't you understand why? That the earth today is still under Satan's clutch. Why don't God just absolutely overpower every devil of sickness, every disease, everything, and say, I'm sick of all this stuff. I'm taking it over today, because He is just. He will do it in stages. He will do it legally, and He will do it justly. And when He finishes it, there'll not be one devil, not one human, will have anything justly to say about the way He did it. It will be conquered rightly. It will be done. Satan will have not one claim left when our Lord Jesus gets done with it. So if He's going to do it that way, then the angel must present the word to Mary. It must be heard with her ears. It must be thought about. It must be perceived. Now remember, Mary has two wombs. Two. Eve had two wombs. You've got two.
it must be conceived in the womb of the Spirit first, which is the mind. It must be believed. It must be responded to. And she must not only believe in her heart with faith, but she must have the right mental attitude. Now the angel speaks the word. It correlates with what she'd already been hearing, what she'd already been reading, what the rabbi had said. Now she understands why, when the rabbi said that about a virgin shall conceive, that there was something so supernatural. It was like her name was written in there. But she said, how could that be? I'm not worthy. Who in the world am I? I'm the least of all these. And look where I'm from and look at the city I live in. How in the world could that be? But here is the confirmation now from the angel of God. And the supernatural is placed before her. Does she believe her past? Does she believe the city that she's from? Does she believe that she's poor? Does she believe that she's not worthy? Or is she going to believe this angel? Which one's she going to believe? The same question might be asked to you and I. Are you and I going to believe our past? Are we going to believe all the things that are around us? Are we going to believe the Word of God? I tell you one thing, friend, you believe whatever you want to believe, but I believe we are a privileged people to sit and hear the message of the hour in the last days, when God is sending minister after minister to us to lift us beyond ourselves. He's trying to raise us beyond our own natural human raising. He's trying to raise us beyond our thinking. He's raising us beyond the insults of our parents and the insults of children, and trying to raise our understanding and our thinking to a divine level. But it's up to you whether or not you'll accept that. Watch this. In the spoken words original, see what Eve failed to do, Mary did. She took the word. Eve took Satan's lie. Now remember, before Eve could ever become polluted in her body, her mind received the lie. The devil couldn't bother her at all as long as she let his lie remain external. But when she took his lie into her mind, and she gave her mind to be a bedding ground of that lie. You could get it in your mind that God don't love you, the people of the church don't love you, this one don't love you. And before long, that will be so real to you, you'll be living in that world. And it's a world of absolute lies. There ain't a one of us sitting here today, I guarantee you, that have imagined this person don't like me, or that one don't like me, or this or that or the other, and it was absolutely not even the truth, but it was real to you. Because you allowed your imagination and the thoughts of your mind to create a world that was non-existent. Now watch her. Mary took God's word. I love this statement. Listen to this. And through Mary's seed replenishes the earth again through bride. Lord have mercy. Through Mary's seed replenishes the earth again through his bride. Mary didn't have a seed. God gave her one, which was Christ. God gave Mary a seed through Mary's seed, but God gave it to her, and God allowed her to call it hers. Oh, glory. You didn't have a seed either. You didn't have nothing good. But God gave you something. And God told you, call it yours. Amen. This predestinated seed I've got is mine. He gave it to me, but now it's mine. Glory. And through Mary's seed replenishes the earth again through the bride. Through the word, and we'll bring up the millennium. Through that goes forth the word, and the word is planted into every predestinated heart. And the Spirit comes down and waters it, and they cannot die. I'll raise him up at the last days. Oh, brother, sister, that's real. How many believes it's real? Now watch this. Again, he says, what is it? The mind is the womb for the Spirit. Let me refresh your memory. So the Spirit has five contacts. Love, imagination, conscience, memory, reason. Or affection, if you want to use that instead of love. So in this Spirit is these five contacts by which you have been given the ability. On the outside, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. So your mind then is the womb or the ground of conception. of your spirit. So in your spirit is imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection. And in order to conceive in your spirit, your mind is the womb of that spirit. So your mind begins to receive seed and thoughts and perceptions. Then what will happen? So receive a seed in your mind that somebody don't like you. Then it will pass that seed down to the realm of imagination. And then you begin to imagine they avoided you this morning when you come into church. And then let it go from there to memory. And you will remember over at the Fall Fest, you looked right at them and they never even spoke to you. Praise the Lord. Don't sit there and look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Every one of you is guilty as a hound dog in the hen house and you know it. You might as well say amen. You done got that deer in the headlight look, so you might as well go ahead and acknowledge it. Why? Now this is something, friend, that each of us have to realize that our mind then is the, notice, your mind is not the womb to your soul. Thank God. I said, thank God. But yet we know the word in order to be born again. How do we get to it? We do not come to the soul first. The word must actually come into our mind before we can even have a new birth. What is it? The mind is the womb for the spirit. What? Taking in or letting out. That's how they commit adultery, is letting Satan, some devil spirit, put in them something against the word of God. Now notice what happens then. Then they commit adultery. Eve received, listen to this, he says, the wrong seed word. Satan's lie against Jehovah's word results was death. Well, where'd she receive it first? Here. In the womb of her mind. Yay, that's God said. Brother Bram said, he told her, why, you pretty thing. You was made for this. It had already been around her enough to see that her spirit was different than Adam's. She wasn't overall top of a woman. Glory to God. Big cigar stuck in her mouth. Hallelujah. Me and Adam's going over there and we're going to straighten out the world. He saw she was dainty. She said, he saw when the winds blowed. She said, ooh, Adam. Ooh, Adam. Some of you wouldn't win. He said, get out of my way, wind. Devil wouldn't attack you. I don't blame him. I wouldn't either. But he saw her spirit was dainty. So therefore, he worked on her spirit in a dainty way. Oh, you pretty thing. Look at them hands. Look how pretty you are. What'd it do? Went right to her spirit. So her mind began to receive this. And then it goes down into her spirit. He ain't just wanting her spirit. He ain't just wanting her mind. He's wanting her body. Don't you understand? He don't want just your mind. He don't just want your spirit. He wants your temple. Why? That's where God's house is. God's house. Oh, we thank God for this building here, but my friend, one day this building here is going to perish. Know you not, your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Notice this. Brother Ram goes on to say, now what is it? The virgin mind. Womb. Virgin womb for the baby. Results? Eternal life. Eve. A good woman. Notice this now. A good woman she was. Virgin as she was. But she let that doubt come in. How? By the word. By the word? What do you mean by the word? The word that was hybridized. The word twisted. It was not all lie. It had enough word in it to make it deceiving. Notice in, he says, what did he do? He brought her into contact in the wrong way. What was her child? Death. Mary! Virgin mind. Virgin womb. Virgin mind. Virgin womb. When the devil tried to tempt her, and the angel come to her then and said, you're going to have a baby. Satan said, you better be quiet about that. The angel said, it's an act of God. She no doubt thought of Isaiah 9:6. She no doubt thought. She no doubt thought. She no doubt thought. Don't you see? Oh, glory. Before the any angel can speak the creative word and begin the creative act in her womb, she must think. So she saw Isaiah 9:6, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. What's the results? Virgin birth, eternal word in her. And she brought forth eternal life. Predestinated woman to carry the predestinated seed to bring forth the predestinated Christ. But it must not be synchronized with womb only. It must not be synchronized with heart only. It must be her heart, her womb, her entire body. Submitted. Now the angel of God will not override her will. Bless God, Mary, straighten up here. I'm going to create a baby in you. Quit crying. Quit believing. Won't do that. No. He won't do you and I. They're the same way, friends. You say, Brother Donnie, why don't God just make me straighten up? He ain't going to do it. If you don't want to do it, he ain't going to make you. But the bride will want to so bad, she'll want to more than anything else in this world. So now let's look at it now. Let's bring it from Christmas 2,000 years ago to Christmas 2012. Let us come up to God's gift for this day. Let us lay aside the tinsel, the flickering lights. Let us lay aside the wrapping paper. Let's see if we can peer under God's mercy tree and see what God would have for us this Christmas. God's not like folks that will buy us things and when you open up you think, what was they thinking? I always feel sorry for the cashiers at Walmart and Target and all those places on the day after Christmas when those lines are stood up there because you're going to return that gift and Uncle so-and-so bought you, of course, hoping that he won't be there to return the one you give him in case he sees you there. But you know, the gifts that God gives, they have function. And they are personally designed for our needs. Oh, glory. I wonder what Jesus, what would be one of the greatest things that Jesus could give us for Christmas? Oh, you say, Brother Donnie, a BMW, a new Cadillac? I don't think so. Obama probably wind up with that anyway. If he don't get it, the GOP don't. If they don't, the Pope will. But what if God could open your understanding and let you see something in the Word that would enlighten you to who you are? Now watch this. If we are born again and the soul has been sealed till the day of our redemption, that still leaves the two other realms of our humanity accessible to Satan's power. As I said, repeated in the last few weeks, that for those of you that are sealed with the Holy Ghost, the devil don't even worry about your soul no more. Why fool with a sealed product? Why aggravate a sealed product? But there's two elements of you that are not sealed, and that is the spirit and the flesh. Right. So what Satan will try to do then is to paralyze the effect of the word getting down to the soul by being able to numb the brain or be able to desensitize the spirit, even though you hear it and you read it and you believe it. But by the time it gets down into the soul, the power has been so stripped from it, it's nothing but letter after letter, quote after quote, with no resurrection power to it. That's where many message folks are. When a preacher starts quoting a quote, they'll finish it. But yet they ain't got enough power to even live right. Why, man, we can quote the prophet, we can quote the Bible, but ain't got enough power to cast out devils, ain't got enough power to overcome. Come on, church! Overcome the things of the world, and we think we're so revelated. Don't measure your revelation by what you know, measure it by how you live. So what if Satan understood enough about the anatomy of the human body to know that even though a man, a woman, boy, or girl is filled with the Holy Ghost, their soul is totally enveloped in the presence of God, signed, sealed, and delivered. But Satan knows there's millions of neurons in this brain. Satan knows that every one of us have had all kinds of negative things happen to us as children, as adults. And he sets us in a negative humor to where everything we hear, we take it through that negativity instead of, now if the soul was on the outside first, don't you understand? Everything, if everything come through the soul first, everything would be perceived godly and right. But because the outside two realms are still unconverted, then everything you hear, everything you see, everything you listen to must come through this before it gets to the soul. So two realms of me tries to interpret everything they hear and see and try to convince my soul about it. And they do you the same way. Now, let's rehearse this for a little bit from where we was at last night for those that wasn't with us. Let's look at the chemistry of your brain. Your brain has billions of neurons, brain cells, trillions of connections between those neurons. Brain cells are not physically connected directly with each other like the wires in your house or car. The neurons are connected indirectly through special chemicals called neurotransmitters. When one brain cell talks to another, it sends the message using neurotransmitters. The sending cell releases a tiny packet of chemicals that carries the message to the receiving cell. This scenario repeats itself trillions of times each day. My goodness. Here this had been going on all of your life, and last night was the first time most of y'all ever even heard of it. How in the world did this go on without my consent? How did this go on, Brother Jerry, without my permission? It don't need my permission. It don't need my consent. It's been going on since I was a little feller, and here I am 56 years old and just now found it out. You mean this has been happening in me all along, and I didn't do nothing about it? I knew nothing about it. Every day of my life it's happened. How much more has the supernatural been happening to you? Now watch then. Every thought that you think is embedded at some level in the chemistry of your brain. Boy, that's scary, ain't it? When you say that someone has a positive mind, you infer that the positive thoughts are embedded in the biochemistry of their brain. Your brain consists of hundreds of different types of molecules, chemicals, arranged in a highly complex configuration. Some of those chemicals are relatively stable structural molecules that create the anatomy of your brain. Other chemicals are non-structural and they create the physiology of the brain. And it takes both types of chemicals to make your brain work. Aren't you glad you don't have to understand all this to know how to operate it? So your brain contains trillions of cells. Each one of those cells is a highly organized bag of chemicals. And one day you was a baboon and you just fell out of a tree and you become this highly complex mechanism. Some of them scientists kind of talk worse than monkeys, don't they? But now watch this. Positive self-talk pushes the chemistry of your brain in a positive direction. When you use positive self-talk on a regular basis, you do more than create a positive mind. You actually create a positive brain. Self-talk is the dialogue that we use to communicate to ourselves. It is the words that we think and the perceptions we have of situations and of our own self-image. I hope some of your folks will realize it's not that everybody in the church thinks you're bad. The main one is you. It ain't that everybody in the church thinks you're hopeless. It's you. If everybody in the church thought you was hopeless and knew you knew you wasn't, it still wouldn't hinder you. You'd want everybody to think you was, but if you knew you was, you and God are the majority. There's lots of folks in the message think I backslid. They think I've crossed the line between mercy and judgment years ago. They feel so sorry for you people because you're so deceived, sitting under this lying, damnable deceiver preacher. But that ain't the way I perceive myself. And apparently that ain't the way you perceive yourself. So what do? We go on then above what people say and above what people say. And that's much easier for to do than it is many times for us to do to ourselves thinking. Well, praise the Lord. Whether positive or negative self-talk affects our sense of self-worth, our self-esteem, and how we, listen to this now, perceive and react to situations. But Brother Donnie, we're bribed. But you're also a stinking, low-down, rotten human being. And these things still apply to you. Notice this, our thoughts create reality. They influence our feelings and perceptions about what's going on in our lives. They determine what we notice in the world around us and what we attract into our lives. Now think, every one of you, every time you come to church, from this point of view is the way you hear things. Because the preaching of the word has to come through your ears, has to go into your mind, and then you sort it out. Is he throwing that at me? Was that for me? Am I this? Am I that? How's this? How that? As I said last night, if you come from an abusive childhood or an abusive marriage and you'll hear hard sermons, that's the way you'll perceive that. One of the sisters that used to come to our church told me many years ago, she said, Brother Donnie, I come from an abusive childhood. I come from an abusive marriage. And she said, when I hear you talk about how sweet Jesus is and how loving and how gentle, I can't really perceive that about him because I measure him by the great men figures I've had in my life. You say that ain't very deep, deep or not. That's the way most of us do. Without help, supernatural help from the soul, we'll sit here today and hear this sermon according to the way you was raised, according to the influence or the perception you have about me, and the perception you have about yourself. Well, glory. Did I forget to tell you all Merry Christmas? Now what's this? By expecting the negative, we filter our experiences and interpret events in the way that meets these expectations. We see only the negative side of each situation. But what's amazing is though, when we look at that, we'll always blame everybody else. Because they're the ones that's causing all this negativity around us instead of us looking on the inside and saying, wait a minute, could it possibly be me? I mean, I know the chances are very slim in it being us, but let's read the quote we read last night and then we'll go into some new information today. Brother Bam says, talking to a group of doctors the other day, and he said, I read your book on divine healing. I said, I guess you criticize. He said, no, sir, I admit that you're right. I said, thank you, Dr. Schoen. He said, Brother Branham, we have record that when you tell a person they've got a malignancy or something that's going to kill him, an ulcerated burst or tubercular, it depends on what attitude they take. If they get all tore up, they'll die right away. But said, if they take the attitude, well, dying is just part of living. It's all right, when I die, you know, it's almost retards that case. When I read these things, I always think about a story that Brother Darrell shared with me several years ago. It was a man when he was still working for the VA on the surgical team. A man that was going to have a surgery, minor surgery. It was not life-threatening at all. But the man went into that. Brother Darrell was there with him in the prep and spoke to him. He said, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. He said, no, buddy, you're not going to die. This is a minor thing. We've done hundreds of these cases. But this man had this terrible fear. The man died on the operating table. No reason for him to die. It wasn't there was a great horrible thing happened, But he went under the anesthesia, thinking in his mind. You've heard it said before that when people are out under the anesthesia, if the doctor mentions the words cancer or a malignancy and they come out of there, they will think it in their mind. I heard of one not long ago where a person and the doctor or a nurse had mentioned the word cancer. It wasn't this person that's operating on. It was a person before them that they had operated on. But this person in their subconscious heard the word cancer. And they come out of there under such a fear. Oh, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. The doctor said, you're not going to die. I said, yes, I've got cancer. He said, no, you don't. Yes, I've got it, I've got it. He said, no, you do not have cancer. You know what they did? They put this individual back out under anesthesia. And the doctor said, I'm so glad this person does not have cancer. I'm so glad that the report come back good. They do not have cancer. And when the perfect person come out from under anesthesia, they had the smile on their face and told their family, I don't have cancer. I think the Holy Ghost needs to put us under some anesthesia. Glory to God! And tell us you're bride, you're elect, you're ordained before the foundation of the world. And then we wake up and say, I'm bride, I'm elect. Hallelujah. Brother Ben said, I just thought, if that mental attitude taken like that, what will it do when the Holy Spirit strikes the inner man? There it is, and I ask him that. He said, certainly that's right. If you can move into a spot, move up into that. One of the best surgeons and doctors in the South, lady said, Mr. Branham, it can be proved. If a man will move, can move. Can move. I can. I can. I will. I can. I will. If a man can move into that spot until even his own mind don't even know he's got it. Can you imagine? You having the ability to persuade your own mind, I do not have this. Now don't blame me for looking at me strange if I'd have said this, but this is your prophet. You don't believe this and do whatever you want to with it. His own mind don't even believe he's got it, to think he's got it, and don't even pay any attention to it. It would if he can believe that. Brother Ben says the mental attitude you take towards it will bring it. Now the mind won't do it. But if you give the attitude towards something that's got life in it. Well, how many's got life in it? Then the life comes down and does it. Not your mental attitude. That only brings you in the presence of him. That's what you do with your mind. Now watch. Wonder why that he would say it over and over and over again that you get what you expect. We always get what we expect. When people expect anything, well, that's usually what you get, what you look for. It's a mental attitude that you have. Remember this and never forget it. The right mental attitude toward any promise of God will bring it to pass. The right mental attitude toward any promise. Okay, now let's see. So if I have faith toward a promise, you mean that within itself won't do it? Look it up. He mentions this term 74 times. I have to have the right mental attitude plus my faith. Did Mary need faith alone? Or did not Mary have to think about Isaiah 9:6? Notice again, and God revealing himself, just what I was trying to do to the woman was to get her in the right mental attitude so she wouldn't have to be prayed for. They talked to the woman, tell her a few things wrong with her, you know, her name, this, that, and the other. And then he explains what he was doing. He said, I was trying to help to get the woman to get her in the right mental attitude so she wouldn't have to be prayed for. What's wrong with being prayed for? Well, apparently nothing. But God must have had a superior way for her. The right mental attitude toward any promise of God will bring it to pass. Do you believe that? The word is the seed. Is that right? Then a sower sowed in the ground. Every seed will bring forth of its kind. If you need salvation, the seed's there. If you need healing, here's the seed in the Word. The Word of God is the seed. Put it in your heart. Don't dig it up every morning to see if it's sprouted. Put it in there and leave it there. It's God's business to bring forth a harvest. You just leave it there and do what but a skip? Water it by faith and praise every day. You got a need in your life, a need in your body. You grab the promise of God in your heart, the right mental attitude. You pray over the seed, commit it to the ground, put the dirt all over it, go out next morning, water it. Glory to God. Got a corn crop. Go back out the next morning. Praise God. Don't feel one bit different. Not one thing's changed. Praise God. The molecular structure of the water has not been changed to defeat and all types of things is positive. You might as well get ready. You're fixing to come up. But what we do is, just what I figured, it always happens to me. Then you repent of your unbelief and cover it over again. Saturday night before church, you go back out and you're really refreshed and think, man, I'm going to church tonight. Glory to God. I know that corn's out of the ground. You go out there looking, sin will change. And if you're not careful, you'll reach right down there. I ain't going to church. Come on, honey, let's go to Dollywood. But commit the seed to the ground, cover it up, and water it every day. Put the dirt away. No. No. It will. God has no dead seeds. My. You leave it there. Water it by faith and praise every day. Thanking God for it. Imagine old John Ryman, Brother Ben prayed for him. He was blind. Come through the prayer line, prayed for him. Nothing happened. Come back again. He said, oh, I'm so glad. He said, I thought you told me you believe me. He said, I do. He said, then go testify about it. Sold papers on the side of the street. You know the story? Sold on the side of the street. Extra, extra. God heal me. Extra, extra. God heal me. Everybody laughing at him, making fun of him, criticizing him, ridiculing him. One day he was sitting in a barber chair, went in to get a shave. God said, I think right here is a good place. Barber shop is a local place, you know, where everybody coming and going. Good spot to manifest the miracle. So God let him go in there and sit down. He didn't know he'd walk in a blind man and walk out a man with his eye. Hallelujah. Why? His confession caught up with his body. Hallelujah. So the barber and the guys in the barber shop, hey, I heard you got your healing. Heard you went up by that holy roller. Yes, praise God, he healed me. And his eyes come open. His neurotransmitters, I'd say, had an explosion. He was not only ministering now faith, but in his brain. Something was happening. His mind was already getting ready to see. Don't you understand? You don't just see with your eyes. Them eyes was connected to brain cells and was connected to perception. They had to be already ready that when God gave the miracle, or the brain wouldn't know what to do with it. So I'm already trying to figure out how to live in a glorified body. I've never liked lived in a city, but I'm already changing my thinking about being a city dweller. Glory. Watch, he said, your right mental attitude towards God's divine promise will bring any promise to pass. Lord have mercy. Now maybe you don't believe that. You say, well, my faith is weak. I wouldn't confess it. See? Don't let the devil know that. We have attributed to him God-like characteristics. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. Do you understand that there's times that your faith might be so weak and the devil don't even know it till you open your big fat mouth and you tell him? He cannot discern your heart, friends. Brother Dally don't know what's in my heart. Don't you see what he tries to get it out of us? Tell us his secrets. Tell us what he don't know. Oh God, help us. How many times have you been at the breaking point in your life and the devil wasn't even sure till you told him? Don't let the devil know it. Always say, I've got good faith. I believe God with all my heart. Don't testify nothing of the devil. Oh my goodness, you mean when I say I've got weak faith, I'm having a testimony meeting for the devil? Well, glory to God. I'd like to give a testimony for the devil today. Bless his holy name. He's worn me out. Bless his name. He's got me down. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares for me. Bless his holy name. You need a spanking. Don't testify nothing to the devil when you accept him as your healer. Listen to this. Don't never act like you're sick or crippled anymore. The prince of positive preachers. Where do you think a lot of these guys got this stuff from? Where do you think a lot of these guys, Kenneth Hagin, a lot of these guys, where do you think they got their principle from? They never understood this. They went in the message and pulled out what they wanted. Because they saw that prophet of God had an insight they didn't have. You've got to be kidding me. You mean, so if I was here this morning crippled in my body and I was using a cane or in a wheelchair or crutches, I'm to act like I'm not crippled? How in the world can I do such a thing? Because a wheelchair is not my testimony. It's only a temporary holding place till my brain and my legs get together. Glory! This old cane is only a temporary stick to help me until my brain and my left leg and my right leg get together. My testimony is not the wheelchair. My testimony is not the cane. My testimony is by his stripes I am healed. Lord have mercy. Look at this year, friend. 4/15/1951. And here we are in the year 2012, fixing to go into 2013. And many of us deep revelated message folks and never even learned how to do this. Can I go on a bit? Thank you. What's this now? In discernment. Now go rejoicing, sister. Eat now and enjoy your food. And God bless you. Let's say thanks be to our Lord Jesus. Now it's your mental attitude of approach. Jesus could not do many mighty works because of what? Their unbelief. So it's your attitude of approach. Again, take God at His word and get a happy mental attitude toward it. If being sad will bring the promises of God on our lives, I don't understand why some of you all ain't got barns as big as the White House. I don't understand why your barns ain't as big as a Walmart warehouse. You ought to be running over if sadness brings it to you. But take God at His word and get a happy mental attitude. Now after church today, I want you to stop at Walgreens and get me a whole carload of it. Go in and tell the pharmacist, my pastor wants a happy mental attitude. Say, what size coat do you wear? How do you get one? Where do you get it? I read you the quote last night. How do we get positive faith? By thinking positive thoughts about positive things. Well, you say, I ain't got nothing in this life to be happy for. Well, think about the life that is to come. My bills have passed due. My roof's about to fall in on my house. Windshield fell out of my car. Flat tire on my bicycle. Had to hitchhike to church. Thank God you had legs. Thank God you had a thumb. Thank God you had clothes on to keep from freezing to death. There's plenty of things for us to be thankful for, but it must come from within. The attitude. Oh, glory. My. Take God at His word. Get a happy mental attitude towards it and start. Now notice, nothing about feeling is mentioned. Where do we get this idea that rejoicing must follow feeling? We got that backwards. Sometimes rejoicing precedes feeling. Saying, God, you said so, and it's got to come to pass. Yes, sir. She didn't wait till she was positive. No, sir. Oh, my Mary. Here's the statement that I usually make in the healing services. The right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass because it's a seed. And if the right mental attitude, just you take the right mental attitude. Friends, look, He's not saying a born-again Christian. He's not saying one that's got a consecrated life. Don't you see how many of these people were sinners that would walk across the platform and get healed? They had the right mental attitude. That's how some of you miss it. You're godly, holy people and you love God and you think God owes it to you. But your attitude stinks. Your mental attitude stinks. And you walk up on the platform to get healed and walk off without it. Did you ever get a Christmas present that you didn't really like? My mom and dad used to threaten us whenever we was kids. We never did get much for Christmas. But boy, I'll tell you one thing. About a month before Christmas, you talking about a bunch of little Reagan angels. Man alive, you talking about little sweet darlings around our house. We might have been meaner than the devil himself the rest of the time of the year, but you know, from at least from first part of November on down to after Christmas there, Mama, do you need anything? Daddy, is there anything I could do for you? You know why? Because they threatened us. If you're not good, you'll get a bundle of switches. Because I was taught to believe in Santa Claus. And they taught me Santa Claus heard what I was doing. As a matter of fact, I'd have swore on my grave that I heard him one night on the house. That's a pretty big boy, too. Man, I heard just then over my mom's house, and I heard something. Harry and Harry's in the bed. We dug out from under them covers. I don't know if Harry remembers it or not, but I heard something. I thought, Lord, it's Santa Claus. Come to find out, his snow be real deep, and it fell off down in the window. Didn't change my face. I still believed in him. It wouldn't make no difference to me how much you told me there wasn't no Santa Claus. I believed in him. And I heard him one night. You see what he can do? The power of the mind? You understand what I'm saying? How many things have we been taught since we were children? It's still embedded in us today, and we're sitting here believing lies. Goodness. Notice this. If the right mental attitude, you just take the right mental attitude toward any divine promise, watch it materialize. No matter how it looks impossible, if God said so, He makes it possible. I love this one. No matter how downcast you are, whether you're a potentate, whether you're a streetwalker, God loves just the same. And died just as much for the prostitute as He did for the potentate. Yes, see, you go to thinking of those things and it changes everything. Don't you see why Satan wants us in this message to believe God loves Brother Branham or Brother Branham's family or the pastor or the pastor's family more than us? That's a lie. Brother Donnie, you don't have the past. You never smoke. You never drunk. That has nothing to do with it. It has to do with His love. It changes everything, doesn't it? It changes the whole mental attitude. Changes your opinion toward. I wonder how many of you in your self-talk, in your dialogue, even after you're saved, you still live under that past. You committed adultery. You done this. You done that. And God won't hear your prayer like so-and-so. She never done that. She never come from a messed up marriage. She never come from this and that and the other. And when you hear it, you sit there and listen and you perceive. But remember, it has to come through this first. Comes through this outside. Come down to the spirit. And then you imagine and your memory and all that sort of thing. And by the time it gets down to the soul, it's so diluted and so weak. It's not brass. Brass. It's no longer strong meat. It's barely enough broth with enough vitamins to even give you enough energy to say, Jesus, I love you. I think I do. I heard Brother Donnie quote that Brother Ben said you could love and even love God and be a devil. I don't know if I love you or maybe I'm a devil. Don't you see? You've pulled it all through your outside rims. And by the time it gets down to your soul, you walk out of a service like this and you're elevated maybe this much when you could have been this much. But you're pulling, constantly processing. Your neurons, your neural transmitters are processing right now where you hear me preach. You're sorting, you're dividing your spirit, your flesh, your conscience, your memory. You're going through all of that. How sad. When the King has set a Christmas dinner before us. A dinner for us to feast upon. The divine culinary artistry, which will raise our metabolism, raise our spiritual divine ability to feed upon the Word. And some of you will walk out of here today with a spoonful of mashed potatoes and a half of a chicken leg. When a buffet was set before you. Oh my. Notice this, he says, let me say this now, that the Word of God will defeat the devil anywhere, anytime, or any place. He will defeat the devil, and the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. If you can look at it the way God wrote it. And accept it in your heart. God will make that word become life. Rhema. I say this, the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. If you get the right mental attitude toward that divine promise, not towards your failures, not toward people the message are failing, get your attitude set on the promise. I can go on record for this tonight. If any people will take the right mental attitude toward any divine promise that God ever made and claim it for yours, God will bring it to pass if you'll take the right attitude toward it, knowing that if God said so, the promise is yours and it's your personal property. The very minute you receive it that way, you cannot receive it. That is all it's a promise. It's a promise to so and so and so. When you receive it, it is mine. Lord Jesus. Look on down here in the bottom part of this quote. For Jesus said, the word is a seed, a sower sowed. And said in the germ-tied seed, if it goes into the ground, then that seed under the right conditions of the sun and the moisture will bring forth a life in that seed. So is the word of God. If a person can take that word and place it in their heart and give it the right sunshine, the right temperature. Now look, the temperature, friends, that's part of you. The temperature isn't just the sun, but the temperature is the dirt, which is you. The dirt, the ground, helps control and acclimate that temperature. You keep it in cold and indifference and bitterness and strife and won't forgive. You don't understand what you're doing. You've got a cold heart. And indifferent, you're constantly criticizing, criticizing, criticizing. You understand what that is? That's actually a repellent for the seed of God. That don't warm it. That seed and promise, I love this, will live in you. Just like it did at the beginning to the one it was given to. Because it's God's word. Now, let's jump over here to the medical side. Now, what's the natural parallel of the spiritual? Positive thinking doesn't mean that you keep your head in the sand and ignore life's less pleasant situations. Positive thinking just means you approach the unpleasantness in a more positive and productive way. Now, it's not mind over matter that if you weigh 450 pounds and you say, I don't weigh 450 pounds. I weigh 150. I'm a millionaire. I'm beautiful. Oh. I'm going to have all the money in the world. There's no promises in the Word of God that that's set up. As I said last night, the only way some of us is going to be beautiful is a body change. Because some of us has got a face only a mother could love. And some faces would even strain that. Brother Chuck told my daddy one time, he's quite a cut up guy. My daddy used to absolutely love to see Brother Chuck come around. He said, when my brother was born, he said, my daddy took one look at him and smacked my mama. So you realize we're not talking about things that are not realistic. Oh, Brother Donnie, is all of us going to be millionaires? No. Are all of us going to be rich and be this and that and the other? No. I'm not even preaching that kind of way. If some of you can just be happy, I'll be tickled to death. If some of you can come in this place and look like you own this world instead of acting like you're a pauper, I'll be tickled to death. Watch this. Positive thinking starts with self-talk. Self-talk is the endless stream of unspoken thoughts that run through your head every day. These automatic thoughts can be positive or negative. Some of your self-talk comes from logic and reason. Other self-talk may arise from misconceptions that you create because lack of information. This brother don't like me. That one don't like me. That one don't like me. And that one don't like me. And you create that for lack of information because you didn't go asking. Well, glory. If the thoughts that run through your head are mostly negative, your outlook on life is more likely pessimistic. If your thoughts are mostly positive, you're likely an optimist, someone who practices positive thinking. How many would like to be a healthier person in Laodicea? Researchers continue to explore the effects of positive thinking and optimism on health. Health benefits that positive thinking may provide include increased lifespan. So my natural anatomy and physiology of my brain can think the right way and increase my lifespan. What about my soul thinking on the promise of God? If I can think long enough and strong enough from a real seed and leave it buried and keep watered and praised, that means I'll never die. Ooh, you can't ask for a longer lifespan than that. And remember, this is scientifically proven. So if some of y'all don't even want to do this because the Word says so, this within itself ought to give you enough to be able to make you just be a happier, healthier person. Unless, of course, you enjoy depression. So positive thinking increase your lifespan. Lower rates of depression. Lower levels of distress. Greater resistance to the common cold. Better physiological and physical well-being. Reduce risk of death from cardiovascular disease. Keep taking your omega-3s. Eat fish once a week. Cut back on your red meat. But work on your brain.
My brother Donnie, my grandpa died with a heart attack. And my daddy. I know your plight. So did mine. As a matter of fact, my grandfather on the Reagan side, I never knew him. I was 9 months old when he died. My daddy got up to take a breathing treatment sometime in the morning, after midnight sometime. Apparently had a heart attack sitting there in his recliner. My sister found him the next morning. And I'm at the age when my grandfather died. So what am I supposed to do? Go and plan my funeral? You folks want to meet me over at Morris Baker tomorrow? We'll pick out the casket and the clothes and the flowers and all that. Or should I think dying's part of living? I'm going to try to do my best. I'm going to try to eat healthy and do all that sort of thing. When Christmas is over, y'all brought me enough junk, I can't eat healthy right now. Or am I to say, oh God, my grandpa died with a heart attack. Oh God, my daddy died with a heart attack. But I'm thinking, you know what? I might be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Who's saying I gotta die of a heart attack? Who's saying I've gotta die of a stroke?
I like this one right here. If this is the only benefit I got out of all of it, this would be worth it. Better coping skills during hardships and times of distress. Because I know y'all don't believe it. I know y'all think I constantly stay on the mountain and I never have trials. But every now and then I do go through things. Listen to this. It's unclear why people engage in positive thinking experience these health benefits. So here sits Dr. So-and-so and Dr. So-and-so and Dr. So-and-so, and they're sitting there discussing all these scientific, the neurological such and such, or the so-and-so and the so-and-so, and they say, we just can't figure it out. Somebody give them my cell phone, I'll tell them. It's a supernatural principle that ties in with medicine. Look, the next time you get behind an ambulance or a medical services vehicle on the back of their window, and what will you see? A pole with a serpent wrapped around it. Everywhere they go, they pat Moses' side.
Me and Carol got behind one the other day and said, wonder how many people drive them ambulances that don't even believe in that. But God makes them testify to it. One theory is that having a positive outlook enables you to cope better with stressful situations. Now, I realize most of y'all don't deal with stress. But this is just in case you ever need it. Which reduces harmful effects of stress on your body. It also thought that positive and optimistic people tend to live healthier lifestyles. They get more physical activity. They shout, they run, they talk in tongues, and they follow a healthier diet. I mean, we got a 7-course meal. We ain't got just rabbit, fried rabbit, dissected rabbit, cooked rabbit, boiled rabbit. We've got a 7-course meal. So we've got a healthier diet. Let's stand. Brother Richard, let's jump down to the second quote, third spiritual adoption, paragraph 26. Now watch Brother Branham follow these same things, these same thoughts. In order to stay with God, stay gentle. God is gentle. In order to stay with God, stay with love. God is love. Stay meek. See, don't ever be self-sufficient. Always rely upon Him. Never use your own mind. Take His thoughts. Let His thoughts be your thoughts. And take them into your carnal mind and repeat them over and say, oh God, take all my doubt away and let my thoughts be your thoughts. You mean I'm to take the word of God into my carnal mind and repeat it even when I don't believe it. I'm going to say it because some of y'all wouldn't be honest enough to say it, but you're just like me and Brother Branham and every other mortal. There's times you hear promises of God. You don't bit more believers than the devil does. See, I know your pride wouldn't let you say amen to that. But there's one good thing about it. Your soul does. But your soul can't get the real benefits until your carnal mind accepts it. It runs down on the subconscious where faith lays. So you just keep saying it over and over again. That's why Satan wants you to say, you've always been a failure. If anything bad will happen to anybody, it'll always happen to you. You was never loved. You was never accepted. You're always gone. You're always... He knows there's power in repeating those words over and over again. Look, listen to this. Oh, God, take away all my... And let my thoughts be your thoughts. And you sick people do that as we're speaking. Just take away, cast away the thought of sickness. Have you ever thought about that? That there's actually thoughts of sickness? Now, this is how you do it. Take God's... Let them become your thoughts. Now what is sickness accompanies? A sniffle? A sneeze? A feeling? An ache or a pain? Now that within itself is only something that's working out here. But there's thoughts that'll come as that. You're getting the flu. Is it the bird flu? The dog flu? The hog flu? Oh Lord, knowing me, it's the worst. If there's a dinosaur flu, that's what I've got. Oh no! Oh no, I probably got that killer flu back here in 1914. Oh no. And your brain is reacting. Oh no. Oh no. Oh no. And after day two, and the wife said, how you doing? I'm dying. Ah. It'll be a miracle if I live to noon. Oh. Call the funeral home. Call Brother Dobby. And your brain is responding. Sick thoughts. Down thoughts. Any of y'all ever got down in your spirit and then your body gets sick over it? Some of the sickest I've ever been in my life is when I got down in my spirit.
And until somehow I was able to grab a hold of a positive thought in order to change my spirit, come through my mind to change my spirit, I'd never recuperate. I'd go to a doctor and they say, it's in your mind. I agree with them. It was in my mind. The wound to my spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. There's so many of these things I hate to stop. But I know you want me to. Notice Brother Bam said, take God's healing thought. Let them become your thoughts. Think upon these things. The Bible said, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue. Look at the next one. I accept thee as my Savior, my only salvation. How he's leading the people in prayer. My only salvation. I need your strength for my health. I cannot go forward without you. I now accept you as my healer. I renounce the devil and all of his works. From this time henceforth, I will think positive. I will believe every promise. The scripture that says, by his stripes I'm healed, I now accept it. I believe it. It is mine. I thank you, Lord. I will continue testifying of my healing until I am perfectly well. So Brother Branham believed in positive thinking. Again, he says, we must stop looking at the negative side and go to looking at the positive side. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Let's bow our heads together. Father God, thank you for these things, Lord. I appreciate so much your word. Lord, I know that these things, it's one thing to talk about them. It's another thing to be able to put them in practice. If they'd only know the opposition I went through to try to bring it to them. Lord, as I stood here Saturday night a week ago, I got so choked in my throat I thought I was going to die. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't say one word. Satan had tried everything to make the computer not work, my printer not work. The quotes wouldn't come up at church. I thought, you devil, you're not going to stop us. And then when I got here, I hadn't been preaching no time. I lost throat, lost my wind and my voice. I thought I was going to die on this platform. He's fought me, but I know why. Because your truth will make your people free. Set us free in our minds, Lord. Many of their souls have been redeemed a long time ago. But their poor minds are riddled with all kinds of things. Many of them struggle to even think sane thoughts. And it's a paradox, really, that you're calling for this mind in this day when the rest of the world is going insane. Brother Branham told us when he was here, 1965, the whole world is groping in insanity. And at that same time, you're calling for a bride who has the mind of Christ. And Carol asked me last night as I was going home, she said, so what do you think? Will the bride, what will the bride speak? Will the bride call for the rapture? And it'll take place. I said, I don't know, but it's certainly moving in that cycle. No wonder your prophet said, we'll take the rapture by the word. One day she'll speak the word and it'll happen. Help us, Lord. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. You see, Lord, I've had negative things implanted in me since I was a child. Help me, Lord, to get away from such things. Lord, coming up through the message, and I told Carol a little while back about this certain minister. I said, my, he passed away. And I thought, I said, must have been something to be able to have that kind of ministry in the message. Not really be a controversial figure. Most everybody love you and most everybody care for you and think well of you. I said, it must have been something. And you know why I said that. Because the place you chose for me was not one of pleasantness. So in that, it makes me lean more toward the negative side. when people will threaten my life. Lord, you know how it is. They did you the same way. But the difference between me and you, you never let it stop you. I need your help, Lord, to move beyond all the negative things and preach the truth and live the truth and be the truth. Many of these people heard it when they were being raised. You're nothing but an idiot. You're stupid. You'll never amount to nothing. Then when they come to you, they feel like all that's cleaned out. But those things are still in the flues of their life. Their channels. And when they hear it hard preaching, they don't even know it because it's subconsciously done. But they'll become offended by a preacher whenever he comes across something real hard and harsh. Because they're hearing it. And it's almost like it's the voice of their daddy again. Or their mama. Or the school teacher. Or the first man they worked for. Whatever. That deeply wounded them. And then they resent that. Then they're right back to square one again. Heal us, Lord. Lord Jesus, we want to be healed in our minds. Healed, oh God, to lay aside thoughts of sickness and disease and all these things, dear God, and have healing thoughts. We want to take your thoughts into our carnal mind and say them over and over again and make our self-talk, as they call it, talk of the word. Lord, my self-talk ain't about money. It ain't about wealth. It ain't about property. It ain't about none of that. It's about being an overcomer. It's about being a better Christian, a better father, a better husband, a better pastor. That's the kind of self-talk I want, Lord. Oh, sure, there's things in life I must deal with, but I don't want that to be the priority. Help me, Lord Jesus. I can be what you want me to be. Grant it, Lord. How many of you feel that way today? Would you raise your hand to God? If the Word was born in Mary, hey, let it be born in me. Think about it, children. I want to take the natural, physiological side of it, the medical side, to show you how these correlate together. And look at the natural part, the way it reflects, how you respond in a subconscious way when these things are going through you. Don't think that this will happen immediately. They say it takes many times a minimum of 66 days to reprogram, to retrain your brain from those negative things. But when I think about it, really, it ain't that long. God's been working on me since I was 14 and I'm 56. So if I can get some of this out of my head in 66 days, man, that's a miracle. Did y'all hear the Lord? He said amen to that. I believe it, don't you? Hey, friends. This is not going to be a bunch of medical things to me. As I told you last night, I've looked at over 6,000 quotes and scriptures this week on these thoughts. Beside the countless medical pages on Mayo and over and over and over again, I took care of what I got home last night. I said, my brain, my mind is so exhausted, but I feel so refreshed in my soul. I don't want this to be knowledge. I want it to be a reality. Don't you want to be a happier mom? Don't you want to be a happier housewife, a better Christian, more consecrated to God? Let's sing it together. Now, Mary, we roll around to another Christmas. When the Word is now not in baby form, but in bride form. He's looking for a bride for that to be conceived in. Well, I can give my soul. I can give my soul. Good. He wants it. But he wants your mind. Brother Branham, I quoted to you last night. He said he had that little saying, as he called it. Do right. That's your duty to God. Think right. That's your duty to yourself. And you're bound to come out right. Let's sing it together. I love you with all my heart. I hope you receive something from the Word today.
She was was a virgin bride to be. She lay quietly. The Spirit
Amen.
Of the Lord overshadowed
her. Hallelujah.
And said that you will conceive a child. And she said, cannot defy. And she said, be it unto me according.
God. Yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you, friends. I appreciate you and love you so much. Hope you have a nice holiday time with your family and friends. Remember, keep Jesus the focal point. I don't have a manger scene in front of my house, but if I did, first of all, it's too cold for a live one. Because if I had a live one, it wouldn't be a baby in a manger. It'd be me. Wouldn't it? The current manger scene isn't a baby. It's a gray-haired man. It's a 70-year-old woman, a 15-year-old boy. That's where the Word has been formed. Hallelujah. God bless you. Love you so much. Lord willing, see you Wednesday night. Take these things, ponder them in your heart. These things will be available for you to be able to look at on the website. If you can't grab it the first time, go back again and again and again. Just say it over and over in your carnal mind until you get it. Somebody's going to get it and going to walk out of this world with it. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. Sing it. I love you with all my heart.
And she kept these things.